This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello. Fuck knows what happened there. We're back. And I will be getting everyone back on in 2 seconds.
Mate, I was on an absolute roll there. I had a real good spill.
Spilling his heart out,
going off, really going into one, and we've been cut off.
That would have been the caption for the head of the podcast, that one. It was so well said as well, Steve.
it was unbelievable. We're just waiting for the substitute. I've got no idea what happened there. We just suddenly died.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah, welcome. Oh, dear. Right. And we've lost all the viewers now. Everyone's thinking, you know, what is this? What is this? This is a shambles. Can't get the staff. What have I missed? Cut off. We're now joined by the one and only Joe Zampa. Joe has now replaced Chris.
What's happened?
We don't know.
We went for an interval, and I'll come back as Chris Chapman.
But hold on. Chris Brown.
Watching the TV with the missus. Next minute, I'm here.
Chris Brown has gone up in my estimations. Thank you very much, Chris.
Has he? God.
Stephen, take it. Right, can I just say thank you very much to the chat, right? Because it was fucking hilarious. Because I'm looking at the chat, and all of a sudden it went, oh, oops. And then Chris has put, oh, the meter's run out. And I'm thinking, no. And I was waiting for you to finish talking to come in and go, no, Chris has had to go somewhere else. Chris, Chris was only here for an hour. No, well, Stephen was. I was going to go, look, Chris has to go. And we're replacing him with Joe. And then I'm looking at the comments going, has the stream gone? Where's the stream gone? And you wouldn't get this with Lions TV and all this. And I'm thinking... What the fuck? And I suddenly looked up and I'm thinking, there's no live there. I'm looking on, I've got analytical YouTube and it clicked up with going, stream finished, thank you. And I'm thinking, what the fuck?
We have also dropped. Yeah, we're live now. We've also dropped from about 160 live viewers to 67. As I was saying beforehand, before the stream was interrupted.
How was the warm-up act before? We've done it the wrong way.
We had the main event on first, and then we had the warm up coming. Oh, there he is. There's the warm up.
Chris Chapman's the old buffer. He's one of the getting everyone, get the juices flowing, and I come in right at the end.
Joe, I'll come to you with what I was saying. Everyone's talking about the style of football we're going to play under Neil Harris. We're talking about possession based. Jay had a stat there that Cambridge had, was it 37% of the ball in that win, or 33% of the ball in that win?
4-0 win, and they had 37%.
So I want to go to games of football and I want to see Millwall score. I want to see us score goals. I want to see us create chances and score some goals. I don't care if we have 30% of the ball, but we have three or four chances and score maybe one or two of them. To be honest with you, there's more than one way to win a game of football. Yes, it might not be pleasing on the eye, and sometimes you might have to dig in. But I just think we get so caught up with style of football. We all ask for a change. We try to make the change, and we've all slagged the bloke off repeatedly for the last 2 months for trying to ask our players to play football out from the back. Let's scrap that. Get back to playing football, maybe a little bit more, should we say, row it ball or negatively, but we might actually win some games of football. Yep. I don't care about possession stats. I don't care about XG. I care about what the actual score is on the day.
I agree. I mean, if anything, this is like a bit of both, isn't it? We've got a bit of the counter-attacking from Rowett, although Rowett did it in a very defensive way, might I add. And then you've got the attacking football of Joe Edwards. So maybe this is the right mix. It's a blend of, you know, defensive, keep it tight at the back, counter, with a bit more attacking presence, and score more goals. I'll tell you what, if we score three or four goals tomorrow, I'll be happy with that. So
That's pretty much the angle I went with it. We're going to see more of a Rowett type of football where we're going to be probably going to have good shape. We're not going to have much of the ball. Harris's teams have always been very good with set pieces, attacking set pieces, corners, free kicks. We're a very physical side under Harris. I think we'll see more of a blend, as you just said and well put, that we'll see what Edwards was probably trying to do, but not go away from the fundamentals of what make us a good football team.
Yeah,
and that is good defending, dealing with set pieces very well, attacking set pieces very well, because we was very good in both boxes at that, and hit them on the counter where it hurts. Because Southampton have got some players that are very quick. They can score from everywhere. So the first, that's at Armstrong, just to name one. So with our aging slow back four, that will be a massive emphasis, will be to shut them out, frustrate them, and then hit them in the mouth where it hurts. And I think we saw that under Harris before, and we did see it under Rowett. We saw a lot of it under Rowett, just not with the Harris attacking intent.
But do you know what? Do you know the biggest contrast, apart from the tactics and the style of football between Harris and then when Rowett took over, one thing I've noticed, our yellow cards dropped down substantially. Yeah. And it was almost like aggression was out the window. It's like, no, we're going to play very passively. We're not going to be too aggressive. We're not going to put a lot of tackles in. And one thing I noticed under Harris is we got a lot of yellows, a few sending off.
100%.
So you're absolutely spot on there, Jay. If we can get, again, it's like a bit of a, it's like baking a cake, isn't it, a little bit? We're going for the compact, defensive, resolute, not give much away, be strong on the old set pieces, attacking football with some fucking aggression in the midfield, and go up and at them. We can't lose, can we?
One sec. Curtis, if you're Curtis Galloway, drop us an email at info@thatmillpodcast.com or drop us a DM on Twitter. You will win the key ring, mate. Just for that. And again, anyone else who wants to be, Dan Riggs, you're on the verge of being booted. our French man. Is Dan joined? Dan, have you joined us late? And also, how many people in here, right?
Think joined this is the us first
on, part. Right, how many people in here joined us on part one or two? If you watched part one and two, then just put one. But if surely you're only watching two, then just put two. Well, I don't know, because Dan how do you know if you that intro?
No, but Dan was commenting. He was commenting in the last.
He must have missed it. I don't know.
I'm saying is, if you don't know there's a first part, you might just put one, but it's actually two.
Yeah.
Maybe what you want to say is, have you seen the first part?
No, if you're watching us now and you watched the one before where we suddenly cut off, then put one. But one. You're watching
your
this
second,
one.
The second one.
And first, a bit like I said put a minute two. Ago, but Joe wasn't listening.
I think I was right and you're wrong. But...
No, I said, if you've watched us first and this one, press one, put one. If you watched us only on this one and didn't know we were around before watching what you're watching now, then put two.
But you swapped You swapped it twice now. When
I'm going to be. I'll tell you why.
This is a shambles. This is a shambles.
There is going to be a stewards' inquiry, by the way, right? And I'll be watching.
We need VAR.
Where Stephen's hands are, because mine weren't nowhere near it, but we suddenly ended the stream.
Yeah. If Mickey's wrong, put Joe's the best. If I'm wrong, put Mickey's the best. We'll let the audience decide.
Back to what you were saying, Joe.
That's what it was.
Thing is, Mickey won't put Joe the best on. He'll go through all the Joe the best ones and just put Mickey's the best.
What I would say, Joe, trying to bring it back to some kind of football and order, what we're actually here to talk about.
What you talking about football, was you?
Yeah. Is one thing, and there was a comment that come up about the set pieces being quite poor, or we haven't scored many goals from set pieces recently.
It's horrendous, isn't it? Yeah.
So there was a stat in the commentary game that suggested that we did, which I think Sky must have been putting up an old graphic, because I don't seem to recall us scoring that many goals from corners and free kicks and things like that. Harris seemed to be someone who very much exploited set pieces. Do you think that we might see perhaps an upturn? I know everyone, Chris said he backed Jake Cooper. Lots of people have backed Jake Cooper to score tomorrow. And I know it's only one player, but do you think that that might be somewhere that Harris looks to target? Because that's quite a quick fix, isn't it? By improving the quality of set pieces.
Yeah. And don't forget, he would know the players. He knows what the players did for him previously when he was in charge and how effective they were in both attacking and defensive set pieces. So he'd be almost sitting there going, guys, what the fuck's going on? Like, I've heard you haven't scored from a corner in, like, goodness how long. And I think he'd be kind of drumming into him a little bit. He'd be pushing for that and asking for that, you know?
Can I just say one thing, right? We're on 10 likes at the minute, right? Bobby, Tom Ford, okay? And if we get to 50 likes, right, within the next, by half nine, if we get to 50 likes by half nine, I will do your show. I will interview you myself. Bobby.
Hit that like button.
But I want the Tom Ford as well, mate.
I just liked it.
Hit the like button. Get your burner phones out quickly.
It's like coming off of what Joe was just saying is I don't think it's the amount of set pieces that we've been having under Rowett and under Edwards. It's what we do when we get them. Now, what we've seen recently and in the last few years is every single corner, every single free kick, whether it be attacking or defending free kick, it's floated in the box and it's just lofted up at a very slow pace, and it's hard for people like Murray Wallace, like Jake Cooper to attack. Under Harris, these balls were whipped in. They were whipped behind the defenders. It was in swinging corners. None of this out swinging, like it was stick it on the penalty spot and players were running in. We saw a lot of that under Harris, and it was very, very successful because we defended corners how we attacked corners, which was everyone 100 mile an hour. You get to that ball. I don't care who's in front of you. You get to that ball. And I think that's the biggest change we'll see from the set pieces. We're going to win set pieces. We did a lot under Rowett and under Edwards, but it's what we do with them and how we take them. Under Harris, it's very aggressive.
Connor, you win one of the bomber back key rings as well, mate, with your comment now. I love that. Again, drop us a DM or whatever, mate. Or the next home game, which we don't have him in a minute, but we'll have him in the week and then we can do him. But to be fair, we'll probably just post him out here.
Also, added to your point there, Jay, I remember Cresswell scoring quite a few headers from set pieces, mainly corners.
But he ain't playing for us no more.
No, exactly. And Cooper, even during that period, wasn't scoring many. I don't remember. I think it was a season before that. Probably, I think maybe Rowett's first season where he scored a few. One of them was a classic where he hit it from the edge of the box, didn't he? Was that against... Yeah. Who was that against? Probably that was against now.
Wasn't that Sheffield United?
Sheffield United, yeah, away to Sheffield United when he smashed it on the volley, didn't half volley.
I just think people have... He's been in the league a long time now. The manager of the teams know his threat. They know how to deal with him. We've seen it every week at the moment where he gets manhandled. Cooper doesn't help himself because he goes to the floor so easily and so quick.
He won't under Harris.
He's never going to get the penalties. There should be several penalties we should have had this season for fouls from Cooper.
Do you know what I do?
That under Harris, as you just said.
Do you know what I do like is I do like persistent people. I mean, Archie's posted this comment about three times now, and it's been up twice before, but obviously he really wanted us to talk about it. So
I do think, though, sometimes...
Archie said...
Have we ever had tiki-taki to get rid of?
He said, get rid of tiki-taki, get rid of possession, get rid of total football. let's win some matches Millwall style. There you go.
Can I say we're up to 30 likes at the moment? We're
good evening,
away.
Luke. Good evening, Charlie. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Maybe I should just play. Should we just play the video again?
but it does, though, chaps. Bringing it back, it does again. The thing with the set pieces, you know, it does again come down to the lack of aggression that we've had in this
I
side.
Agree.
It doesn't Too matter nice. Whether you in-swing it, whether you out-swing it. You've got to get to that ball first. We've got the players, we've got the size. They're just not getting there. Cooper doesn't actually win any headers in the box anymore.
No, he doesn't. Now,
he does have players around him because he has been in the league, like I just said, he's been in the league a long time. Teams know him, the players know him, they defend against him every year. So they know what they can and can't do to defend Jake Cooper. Jake Cooper's got to be better than that. He's got to know what he's good at because he's massive. Matt Smith was the prime example. No one could handle Matt Smith. Every time that ball came in the box, he said it was mine.
Yeah.
And Harris will install that back.
There's a comment coming up from Jason.
Mickey. That.
Yeah, because it's annoying because Steven,
sorry, just in case you didn't realise, I'm actually caught up with the comments. How good is that, Stephen?
Well up, mate.
Well done.
And
the rest of them got deleted, so we've only gone back to about 20. So yeah, good job. I had about 600 on Wednesday, so yeah, cheers. The thing with that, with Cooper, and that's a really big point. If you see every week, Cooper doesn't win the headers, but he is competing with two players. He's always competing with two players.
It has to
leave someone with some space. It might not be a bigger player. It might not be your Hardings, your Murray Wallaces or Leonard or whoever, but someone has to have space. And also, I know this is going to sound even more stupid. Cooper's got two players marking him, but we still look for him. Why don't you just look for someone else
or pull him out?
And if Cooper does get on the end of the end of it, great. But if you aim for someone else who's free, it's a no brainer. Don't worry about a penalty.
Steve, to that point, that I remember when we set up under Harris, is that it was almost like how England set up with their corners, where everyone's on the edge of the box and the ball comes in and then they run in. They all take their
said directions.
The choo-choo train. And they all took their certain directions, what they've been training on. And when we was doing that with Cooper, it is hard for the opposition to then pick him up because the ball's come in and he's
got Jason said space. Again, though, isn't it? What Jason says there, look, Jason says he draws the players and others are unmarked every week, but we just don't utilise them.
We don't, but when we're floating the ball in the air and it takes 5 seconds for the ball to come down, everyone's got a position, everyone's set, everyone can see the second ball before the first ball's even been nodded on. Under Harris, it was so fast and it's whipped in and everyone's running onto it. It's hard to pick them up, and Jake Cooper had such success with it.
Yeah. Can I make a point on that, right? And this might be a little bit controversial. I think even if he wasn't even marked that tightly, I don't think Jake Cooper is that good as an attacking threat from set pieces. He's good at sort of doing the old flick-ons, but actually scoring, think about it, how many goals he scored, for a few years ago, but how many scored in the last few years? Hardly any. I tell you why. When I went to watch them train a couple of seasons ago, they were doing this drill where the ball will start in the middle, it'll go wide, it will cross in, and there was Hutch and Cooper with an empty goal, heading the ball towards the goal. And no word, I kid you not, for about 5-10 minutes as this drill was going on, and every fucking header went over the bar. And I said to, I think it was my Luke, the boy next to me at the time, I said, oh, this is a defensive drill. Then what they're doing is they're trying to clear the ball from the crosses and clear the ball. It's only until Jimmy Carter was down there at the time, and he looked around, he went, "Now, mate," goes, "they actually try to score," he said. I was like, "You're joking." And no one would lie. There's about 20 crosses, and I think maybe one or two hit the back of the net. They were that bad. And when you compare someone like Cresswell, who's technically a better player, look at Cresswell, who's technically a better player, you put him in that position, he scores 4 or 5 in a season.
I think Cresswell's just so physical, though. He was such a commanding presence.
Yeah.
Like, Jake Cooper's pretty tall and lanky, isn't he? I don't actually think Jake Cooper's that strong. I just think he's just got the size. He just doesn't know how to use it properly.
Yeah. Defensively, don't get wrong, he's good. The cross comes and he'll get his head on it and he'll clear that header. But sometimes it's a confidence thing as well, you know. If you're if a ball, I mean, I've played Vets football for many years, and if I played at the back sometimes, I feel much more confident heading a ball out than what I do playing up front, and I've got a cross coming, and I've got a big defender going across me. You think, fuck, we're going to smash faces here or heads, whatever. And you're always a little bit more apprehensive.
Chris, I would say, sorry, Joe, one sec.
Yeah. You've got 4 minutes to get 19 likes, or else Bobby's show will be with Joe Zampa.
Bobby, phone your family, phone your friends, get them to log in.
You've got 4 minutes. Hit that like button if you want me to interview Bobby, or don't hit the like button and it'll be Joe.
What I would say though about the aggression thing, I don't think that applies to Sean Hutchinson.
No,
I don't think we haven't seen enough of Hutch. This season, he does attack the ball aggressively, and I think he's someone that is. I don't think he minds that physical with a defender. He's going up with a ball with a big centre half. He's thinking, do you know what? I'm going to have this. I'm going to get on the end of it.
Yeah.
You're right with Cooper. I think his size. I don't know if he just expects to win the header. I don't know. But it just comes across that the ball comes in and I don't know. There's a fella that sits behind me. I don't know the bloke. And every time we'll get a corner. It might be. But no, it's nothing bad. Every time we'll get a corner, he's like, come on, Coops, get your head on it. Literally every single time. And I think to myself, it's just not going to happen.
Sky Bet, like yesterday, I actually put a £10 bet that Jake Cooper will score in 90 minutes, 22-1.
And I see that.
So it was 23-1, it's now 22-1. So, yeah, it hasn't gone down much.
Because he hasn't got anything behind him to back up that could possibly happen. That's the thing. It's not like sticking a tenner on Mbappe to score any time. Jake Cooper scoring a header lately.
Our French
is like, you know, finding the needle in a stick.
Here's one for you. Our French correspondent, Lalain Leblanc.
He said,
what's that say? It's Joe, shut up, you cunt.
What?
He says, one of our biggest problems is no goals from midfield and not enough from set pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I sit behind the goal, CBL, and I watch Fleming just at the end of it before they go in take these free kicks to warm up.
And he skies
every single one. I think, why are you bothering? Like, he's no good at them.
Do you know why he does it? Do you know what? My tip for, because he does it every time, my tip for Fleming, and I bet it's probably because I can see Mitchell now
and he's tracksuit in the training ground.
Right? No. Tips. What I'm saying is, Fleming, right? You sky everyone, just don't take them. Right? Mm. Change what you do every day. Just leave the pitch before the rest of them. Don't be the last man out on the pitch. Change it, and you will score a hat-trick tomorrow.
I'll tell you what as well, with that point, Jay, I also sit behind the goal upstairs and with those free kicks. And the other day against Sheffield Wednesday, we got a free kick right where Zian Fleming takes his free kick.
In a great position.
And you're thinking, right, okay, you know, if we can get it on target, we've got an opportunity here. And considering that you're bang on. No, even worse than that, he smashes all of them over the crossbar for fun. He gets one in the game and it hits the bloke in the wall on his shin.
Yeah.
He barely got it off the ground. And you think, what are you doing? Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm thinking the last 20 have gone over the bar into the top stand. Yeah. I'm going to put this one a bit lower, but he's obviously gone too low, isn't he?
Don't get me wrong. Hold on. Sorry, before we do this, because I always get hammered about this.
It's Jason's comment. So, yeah, go on, you can read it afterwards.
Zian Fleming isn't the reason why we're not scoring goals and scoring free kicks. We don't get enough free kicks. There was a comment about SA. Yeah, just in case. But there was a comment about SA winning free kicks and penalties. Neil Harris was an absolute master at buying a free kick. He knew when to go down. He knew when, if he was from behind, the shove in the back, he knew how to. And that's what we need out of the likes of Fleming, out of Bradshaw, Obafemi, whoever it is that's playing in forward positions. If we're gonna be successful under Harris, we're going to need to start sort out the set pieces and start.
We've been too honest. I've said it before. Yeah, we've been too honest. We felt the nudge in the back and we haven't gone down. And like you just said, that does not happen under Harris. And it won.
No. So Jason's got another comment from Twitter. Again, if you're watching on Twitter, you can comment. Come straight through to the guys in the studio. Jason says, Jake Cooper hates going up for corners and getting dragged around. You can see it in his face.
I agree.
He's still got to do it, though, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's got to have a different mentality about that. He's bigger than them. He's bigger than most of these centre-halves.
Yeah.
He's got to have the mentality of, I'm bigger than you. I'm going to win this ball. Like, I just think it's a mentality.
He's
quick to throw his arms up before he's even hit the floor.
Yeah, he does do that.
While we expect a penalty from it, and some of them are penalties, some of them aren't, he's still got to have a different mentality of win the ball first. If I'm fouled, I'm fouled.
Yeah.
But not look
for like Bradshaw.
Ball for the foul first.
Mm. Bradshaw's obviously a difference, you know, 5'7" to 6'5" or whatever it is. And Bradshaw will go in for everything and anything.
Yeah.
Mm. And get
clattered and,
And Coops doesn't necessarily. So, yeah.
No.
Evans MSD says, biggest problem, no striker scoring. No striker fit, I think.
Nobody scoring. The strikers not scoring isn't a new thing at Millwall, is it? Apart from last year under Bradshaw, anybody to score. I think the striker thing, it's interesting. The amount of people, and we've had so many comments on this show about we need an attacking coach, we need a striker coach, we need a forward coach, we need this, whatever you want to word it. Well, if our strikers can't learn off of the manager now how to put the ball in the back of the net,
you've got a manager
they never
who's
will.
An all-time top goal scorer, aren't you? So, yeah.
Exactly. So I think that in that sense, but I think it's about also learning the clever side of the game. Neil Harris had that. I think to an extent George Saville does. George Saville buys free kicks in the middle. He knows when to try and take pressure off. But we don't have enough of those clever, I don't want to say dark arts, because that's probably a little bit harsh, but I think you get what I'm saying. The clever side
honest.
Of the game.
Yeah, we're too honest. We're too honest with ourselves.
Hang on one sec, because it's a good point for you boys to answer. Jason says again, you know, goals can come from midfield if Leonard was in there, which he thinks we might see under Harris.
Well, I agree with that.
He's got a hell of a dig on him, isn't he?
He has, and he's not afraid to shoot from distance. I've not seen any midfielder shoot from distance.
He's got a lovely shot on it. He hits the ball really sweetly. There was a time, I think it was last season, might be last season, it could be before, when it came from a corner. And it was pinged out to him right at the corner of the 18-yard box, and he hit it on the volley. It was away to someone, wasn't it?
Away to Birmingham this year. Yeah. I was there. It was disallowed.
He absolutely smashed it, didn't he? Like, hit it so clean, you know?
He hit one against Hull a few years back, didn't he?
That's right.
And you was just going to say, Joe, he hit one last week that almost sailed in the bottom corner. Mm. He has got that in him. Stick him on the edge of the box from set pieces.
It's funny that, Jay, because I was actually thinking, when I saw that last week, I thought, I'd love to have Leonard play in the midfield just to get in around those areas, because we get so many chances.
Alex S says, why not try and bamboozle the opposition by leaving Coops on the halfway line at set pieces? Just guaranteed no points practice set.
Because if they clear it, it's a goal, because he's not. that's the Lindell with that, isn't it?
I tell you that, interestingly, Joe, to follow what you said there about Leonard playing in the midfield, right? We always talk about needing legs in midfield, and Leonard is.
He's got them,
like George Honeyman, well, but with a little bit more physicality. He's a bit bigger, isn't he, than George Honeyman.
Leonard has got a football in mind. I am
a Leonard fan. I've been before this season. The only thing, and again, I know Mickey has put the graphic up asking for Leonard whether he'd be captain or not. I would love to see Ryan Leonard as captain, but you don't know how long you're going to get out of him. How many of these 13 games is he going to play? And that's the issue.
Which is probably the reason why he's not playing midfield. Because I think in your midfield, you've got more chance of getting injured, you know, lots of wear and tear, more tackles, et cetera, et cetera. I think almost playing at a centre half or the right hand side or at fullback, you're kind of out of the danger zone much.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and someone like him is quite fragile. You don't want to get him in the middle, do you, of the park, where you're going to be constantly getting kicked and whatnot, you know?
Yeah. And if there's one set position that you Harris does need to get settled for these 13 games, it's centre midfield. You need a pairing that is going to stick together for these 13 games. It can't be chopped and changed about, because it's such an important part of the field that you need some continuity there. If Leonard's in there, great. And if he can last 13 games, even better. I'd love him with Casper Delore. I think they'll complement each other pretty well. But again, like you just alluded to there, is if he's not fit, you're chopping and changing arguably the most important part of the field that makes a Harris team, most teams tick.
Yeah. As consistency, we've seen it throughout the years, haven't we? When you look at the greatest teams we've had, you could almost pick the pairing in midfield, couldn't you? Whether it be, you know, Livermore and Cahill at the time, or Sean Williams and, you know, what's that, man? Who played with Sean Williams in the middle?
Savile, George Savile did.
Yeah. So, and you had all his pairings, didn't you?
Alex S has said, will Harris bring Bart back?
Doubt it.
That's interesting, that.
No, but I would like him to.
Yeah, so would I.
Mm. You say no, but we don't know, do we? But yeah, we'll see.
No, I don't think he will.
Also, another one here with a comment. Luke Smith says, I think Harris will go with Casper and Honeyman.
I think Honeyman has got a big part to play in a Harris team.
Yeah.
I think it's exactly what Harris wants. I would just want George Honeyman to have a bit more of a technical head on him and not be such a loose cannon. Because he does look like he just runs around the pitch, which is good because, you know, he gives us legs and he stretches the field quite a lot. But with Casper's so technical, he needs someone alongside him just to fill the gaps to allow him to get forward. I think Leonard has got that mentality and that brain to see the, you know, remember the old Patrick Vieira, Emmanuel Petit, when one went, one stayed, and it was back and forth. And it was the same under Cahill and Livermore. Livermore stayed and Cahill went. And I think... They need that type of central midfield pairing. And I just think Honeyman is such a loose cannon. If Harris can harness that, that for me would probably be the best central midfield pairing.
Well, here's one for you, right? And I'll tell you what I was going to do, we'll do it in a minute in the, which has thrown me because we're only 29 minutes in and I'm thinking, where the fuck are we? But I think we're about an hour with the other show. So we've got about half hour or so if everyone's all right with that. But, I've got a thing what I want to throw at you in a little bit. We'll do that in a little bit rather than do it now because this question is one that's sort of taken over two people. Daily Millwall as says Campbell starts tomorrow. Do you think chance. Campbell will start under Harris?
No.
I think he could.
He's not match fit, is he?
No.
The other one there is Harris has got a bigger squad of players now to pick from. But go to my question, what it was, because it will send the comments into overdrive as well.
Can I say one thing before we move on? Yeah.
Well, we're not moving on. We're just going to talk about the same topic. But
Set in midfield.
We're talking about the same thing. Yeah. So basically, for weeks, go on. Say what you want to say, Joe. Go on.
No, I'm just saying, would it be a surprise to anybody for the last how many games, 6-10 games, when they're fit, we've always said our best pairing in midfield is probably Honeyman and Denoor. Yeah.
Why don't you text him and ask him if he's playing tomorrow?
Would it be a surprise to anybody if neither of them start tomorrow?
I think you'll be surprised at the team tomorrow because I think Neil's going to send a rocket through the team and go, I've looked, you've not done enough, you've not done enough, you've not done enough. For that, you're on the bench. I'm going to give you a go, you a go, you a go. And potentially some of the younger players and some of the ones that have... Well, I think
be prepared for some shocks, I would say.
I was going to say, how 100%. Fit is Casper Denore? How fit is he? It seemed like he was rushed back the other week. Is he fit? And I wouldn't be surprised if we see Mitchell and Leonard in midfield or Savile and Mitchell in midfield. Something with legs.
Can you imagine the meltdown tomorrow at 2:00 if Casper Denoor and George Honeyman are both not playing in
100%.
Can you clip this bit?
Yeah. 32 minutes.
Everyone's expecting Neil
Harris has got it in him,
isn't he, Jay? Yeah.
Neil Harris has got it in him. Is that sort of person? It's my team, my players, I'm going to put what I want.
100%. And we're all expecting him. We're all saying it's going to be a Harris-type team. You know, we're expecting him to make wholesale changes for the players that he knows. Why wouldn't he go with Savile and Leonard in midfield?
Or a Mitchell.
Harris, where Ben Thompson actually filtered in that 10 role. And he had the three behind him. We might even see all three of them feature. People shouldn't be expecting to see any player on that team sheet as a given tomorrow.
And every player's got to prove themselves at the moment, they? No matter how good they are.
I mean, there's a bit in there. Mitchell, Honeyman, Denoor, Honeyman, Leonard and stuff. So, Honeyman out wide.
I think Mitchell's really...
We're coming to your players in a bit.
I don't know what your thoughts are, but I think Mitchell is really underrated. I know, and I might get shot down in the comments for this.
No, I actually really like
Billy Mitchell and what he brings. He's got energy. He gives everything for that shirt as well. Yeah. He could quite easily be that person in front of the defence behind a three-man midfield. And that could work because he can get side to side. He stretches the ball. He passes side to side. And let the more technical, better players do the hard work in front of him. That would be perfect for Billy. I don't get the serious hate with Billy Mitchell. I really don't.
I haven't understood it for a long time. And to be fair, he very rarely makes a mistake. Yeah, he's good with the ball. He's very hard. He doesn't lose the ball. How many times have we seen him in tight spaces? We've got two or three players around him. And he somehow kind of like works his way out of it.
And I'd argue with you, Joe, and not argue with you, but I'd argue the fact that four-game win streak we went on where we didn't concede, Billy Mitchell was heart of that midfield in them four wins. You know, he was the heart of that midfield. And in the pre-season, that midfield was Casper Denora and Billy Mitchell. For majority of that pre-season, they played very, very well together. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Billy Mitchell starting tomorrow. I really wouldn't.
And he seems like such a lovely geezer. It'd be funny, but if that was Savile, you'd be hearing rumblings about him not being happy or whatever.
But it goes back, Billy Mitchell, to what we said. Yeah. It goes back to what we said. Sorry to interrupt you again.
That's right.
It goes back to what we said about the youth players that have come through being easy scapegoats for not just managers, but for the fans as well. And Billy Mitchell is falling fully into that trap.
Yeah. Leeds are winning, aren't they?
Leeds are winning.
2-1.
Which now means as well, what we were talking about earlier, that the pressure ramps up a bit more on Southampton for tomorrow.
Yep.
Because with Leeds winning now, and obviously Ipswich, I don't know who they play tomorrow, but it now becomes a more important for them to get a result.
Yeah, but it don't matter if they get a result, they're out of goal difference. So even if they win tomorrow, they're still not going to go second, they're going to go third.
But if they don't win, they keep up with the pack, don't they?
Yeah. If they don't
win... they're pretty safe. They're 12 points ahead of...
Not Leicester. We're talking about Southampton and Leeds.
Leicester and Leeds, I mean, but Southampton's 12 points off the team closest to them anyway. West Brom's 12 points behind them.
But what I'm saying is, Mick, is that Southampton will want to finish second. They won't want to have to go through the playoffs. And they're going to have to keep up with the pack. That's what makes it a bit interesting. There's a comment to say Ipswich have got Birmingham at home. Birmingham going through their troubles with their manager. That looks like Ipswich could win the game. So Southampton, bringing it back full circle, what we were talking about initially, I think before the show went dead and we come back. Southampton tomorrow will probably look at us and their fans will be looking at us going fourth from bottom Millwall. They've not won in ages. This is an opportunity to get back on track. But there'll be a few of them in the back of their minds going, but
new
they
manager.
Have got a new manager. Bounce it isn't the same Millwall. And as there was a point, Jay, it might have been you, I'm not sure, that they would have done a lot of prep. They would have come to watch us probably against Sheffield Wednesday or Ipswich. And now that all that prep work's gone out the window. It'll be a very interesting game, whatever happens, I think.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if any of you guys have been to Southampton before, have you?
Yes. No, it's like first time for me.
I've been to Southampton. I haven't been to Scunthorpe, but
I went there when we drew one all. Jimmy
Joe, I love that, Joe. Sorry. I love that. I got the reference there, mate. You're trying to be down with the kids.
It went over the two oldies' heads, didn't it? Not like me and you, the kids, the youngsters here.
I just look old.
It's all right, you're not as old. You're not as old as Joe. Joe is the oldest person on our podcast.
I am.
That is legally. There's Tunbridge MFC is agreeing with you, Jay. He says totally agree. Billy is so underrated by fans. Talk about Millwall type shit. There's a comment
that Archie C put up just before that, and I agree with that 100%. One if his name, I can't remember what it is. Yeah, that's it. There, I couldn't agree with that anymore. I love that comment.
It's just a shame that our midfielders don't score enough goals. I mean, historically, we used to always score from midfield, didn't we? Whereas now, apart from Savile, might get one or two a season. There's no one really. Mitchell doesn't really want to score. Denora hasn't scored for us.
I think they're just all the same type of player. They're all like defensive minded players to begin with. You know, we haven't really got that cam, if you like, or an actual centre midfielder, the typical box to box centre midfielder, the one stay, one go scenario. But we've only got two of the same.
But Sean Williams was quite a defensive midfielder, but he scored a few goals for us, didn't he?
Technically, that one good, left.
Yeah, that was the thing. I think as well, if you look at our midfielders, I'm not going to include Denoor in this because I do think Denoor's technically a better player than the rest. But midfielders are all workhorses. They're all they all put themselves about. They all like a tackle. Billy Mitchell and Leonard and Honeyman and Saville.
Stephen, would you put Denoor in that bracket?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm taking Denoor out. He's the only one I wouldn't say is necessarily a workhorse.
Casper Denoor actually played in the cam position a hell of a lot at his previous club, and he scored a lot of goals as well. Mm. Is he being played in his best position?
Well, that's it.
Will he be better for...
I mean, what a player with European experience. This is somebody who's won the championship with his last team. He's played Champions League, played Europa. You know, he's won the cup in Belgium. Yeah, this player, he never missed a game.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
What was really? For them?
And he scored some belters.
Yeah, I don't think we're really utilising Casper as well as we are and playing to his strengths.
We're not. We're possibly not, but I would also argue that we've not done the same with Ziyech Fleming. I'm sorry, but the phrase you used there is cam. Ziyech Fleming is an attacking midfielder. I cannot see, and I know Harris might have done it with Aidan O'Brien previously, but there is not a chance for me that you see Ziyech Fleming out wide in a Neil Harris team.
No,
I just don't see. And if he does, I'll publicly apologise on the show on Sunday.
39 minutes in, we'll be clipping that bit as well.
it's the biggest crime in this team at the moment is that Ziyech Fleming is, and people say, you know, he's not been the player he was last season. He played in his preferred position last season. Mm. And even this season, playing left wing, playing up front, playing in the cam, playing deeper, he still leads the team in every major goal statistic from midfield that we want to have. Assists, chances created, goals scored. Play him in the cam. Get footballers behind him, give him the service, and we will be such a better team.
Build a team around him.
Yeah, build exactly that, Joe.
Yeah,
don't put him
around the team. You know, he's a quality player.
Perfect.
Jay, Danny Stroud. Dear God, these Billy Mitchell arse-lickers, his dog shit, simple as that. Name me one single game in his career thus far that he is positively affected a game at either end of the pitch. Well, to be fair,
okay, Bristol City away, he got man of the match.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't he get a brilliant pass for who was it for? Was it a Mackie?
He played the pass to Danny McNamara at Preston last season.
What a ball.
McNamara set up Fleming's hat trick.
That's the one. What a goal that was. And he took the ball from our box, he dribbled it out. I remember they'll chase him down. I thought, give it. And he did.
He held it.
And then he played his sort of the right channel, didn't he? Do you remember?
You're right. That was actually Charlton in a pre-season friendly. He played the pass.
Was it Nisbet?
He gave it to him. Nisbet went through and scored.
That's right. He played it through to Nisbet.
Yeah, it was.
Passed it into the bottom corner. Yeah.
Wait. Yeah. Oh, really, really good.
I must admit, I can't get on board with starting Billy Mitchell. I get the arguments for and against, but if it, Billy Mitchell isn't one of our best two midfielders.
No, and don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating to start Billy Mitchell. I'm just saying that we shouldn't be surprised if that's the route Harris goes down.
100%.
Because of how he has performed under Harris and what he can offer this team. In that four-game unbeaten run, Billy Mitchell played. Hasn't played since, didn't play before.
Yeah.
Now, if something worked, and we changed it completely. He gave him 40 minutes in the game back at the Den. I think I can't remember who it was. I'm not sure it was. And then brought Denore on, and I think he brought Savile on to change it in the second half. And that was the last we saw of Billy Mitchell because he's an easy scapegoat. But in the run where we actually picked up points and actually played well and kept four clean sheets, Billy Mitchell was pivotal in that midfield. Mm. It's evidence. It's not an opinion. It's just based on what he's
Neil Harris will pick all.
Dan Strange come back, by the way, and said, I apologise. He's had one good game. Definitely deserves a free pass.
What player does deserve any pass in this team at the moment? None of them deserve any pass.
Okay, let me put it this way. Let me put it this way, right?
But tomorrow.
Let me just say, and I get you can clip it and this, that, and the other, what I've said before. If Billy Mitchell starts over Casper Danor tomorrow, right? Would you be happy with that?
No.
And this is what I'm saying. I get this, what he played in the four games. I would also argue that Sean Hutchinson had a big influence on those games as well. Mm. But I think Harris has got to be really, really careful. He might go with the players that he trusts, but if we're going to sacrifice tomorrow Danor and Fleming for players that he may trust, I think that's a real dangerous route to go down because you cannot be leaving them players on the bench.
Do you think he will go Billy and Savile because
he knows them?
He knows them.
Yeah, 100%. The same way he'll pick Murray Wallace.
I would probably go Savile and Mitchell, and then second half bring the likes of Danor, Honeyman.
He may well do because of
the pace.
But to start off with, he will go with his tried and tested. So that, I mean, if they're fit, Cooper's playing, Murray Wallace is playing, Mitchell's playing, Savile's playing, Bradshaw's playing, anyone that he's worked with before, the tried and tested, he will go with. I hope I'm wrong. But
Joe won't like that comment, mate.
Listen, I don't
Curtis,
think,
mate.
I think he'll be mad if he doesn't start Casper.
Wrong team.
He hasn't had this caliber of player for one.
No, I don't think he has. I don't think
he's going to want to play this type of player. This is a great player for Harris. He'd be stupid if he didn't play him.
Yeah.
But I mean, just from the go on, sorry, mate.
No, just I mean, it's just on the back of there. Joseph Sardinian says Dave Livermore will make Billy Mitchell become a better midfielder.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that he can make a lot of them better players, you know? I mean,
you'd argue that they're similar type of player as well, Billy Mitchell and Dave Livermore.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think the point we're mentioning here is that, you know, Casper is technically a very, very good player and he's very good on the ball and he wants to play on the ball. The players that Neil Harris will probably pick tomorrow are players that are used to not having the ball.
Yeah.
And it'd be a case of them running around, tackling, getting in amongst it and stuff. And
let's do it then. Give us your starting 11s in the comments. Give us your starting 11 in the comments, and we'll come on to ours in a minute. But we're in a little bit. But get your comments in with your starting 11. So yeah, I mean there. Look, I mean,
I agree. Can you go back one there, please, Mickey? Can you go back on the comment? No, the other one about Casper Dorr can get into, is it a top 16? Any team?
That's underneath this one. So yeah. Billy hasn't performed at his full potential under Rowett and Edwards, but maybe Harris can harness that potential and get a tune out of him. Dan Riggs says Casper would get into a top 6 team in this league, yes or no?
Whether he's a starter, he'll definitely be in a squad. Yeah. I mean, he's a top player.
Would he make the likes of Leicester, Southampton, Leeds?
I think so.
Would he make their starting 11?
I couldn't see why he wouldn't.
I know why you're saying that, Joe, because you're obviously...
No, not at all.
You have your connection. But
No.
I don't know if he's good enough for right now, as in tomorrow, if it was one of the top 6 teams playing tomorrow and he was available for any one of those teams, would they pick him with what they've currently got? I would say
he'd get in the West Brom team.
But you're arguing that he'd get in the West Brom team, and I'd argue available. Not every team has every single player available. What I'm saying is, if he was in a Leicester team and there was, you know, let's say one player that is out injured, there's no hesitation. They will play him. He'll get intact. In amongst those good players, he will play and he'll be even better than what we've seen of him so far. You know, he's a top, top, top player.
Yeah.
As I say, I think you're... Jay, I think you're right. There is an argument perhaps with Ipswich, because I think Ipswich have got some very, very good players, but I think in midfield, that's probably their... I mean, Ipswich, if any Ipswich fans are watching this, they'll probably ruin us to shreds, but I think he could possibly get in their team. The West Brom team, I think he would get into. Hull have bought in millions of players, so maybe not. Leicester, I think Leicester's midfield is just... unreal, isn't it? It'd be very tough for him to get in there.
Midfield, isn't it?
Can I ask a question in the chat, sorry guys, very quickly. I mean, we're all kind of working out the team, and we know under Harris, he's definitely going to play Dan McNamara right back. He's going to play Murray Warris left back and Cooper left centre back. There's one position left. Would he go for Tanganga or Ryan Leonard? I mean, Ryan Leonard, you could argue, but I mean, what has Tanganga done wrong, really? I mean, he's a quality player. He's getting better and better every game. He's getting fitter and fitter. Would you start Tanganga or would you start Ryan Leonard?
I think he views Leonard as a midfielder. I don't think he views him as a centre half, which I think just by default, based on injuries and players available, I think Tanganga is the guy that starts alongside Cooper.
I think personally.
But is Harding a Harris-type player?
I would say he is
quite physical as well, you know.
I would say he is next to Cooper. Yeah, and also more importantly, Jay, Harris won't be asking Harding to do the things that Joe Edwards is asking to do, as in play the ball around the back, play through balls, you know, push out of your lines. He'll want him just to tackle, clear that fucking ball, get it forward.
And when Harding come into the team under Rowett, Plymouth away, for example. Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't asked to play out from the back.
You're right. I like you're going to say it.
He's a big lad, Harding. It's lump that ball as far away as you can as possible. Mm. He actually talks quite a bit, Harding. He's quite a presence. Yeah. Asking him to play out from the back is not his game. Yeah. That's where he started to come unstuck.
He's 27 years old, so he's not an old player. And obviously, he's not a young player. But I tell you what, when you talk about players playing for the shirt, playing for the badge, you can tell that Harding cares.
Yeah, he's not far off that.
When I went to Coventry away, and obviously we lost, a few of the players had a half sort of clap to the away fans and then fucked off. He stayed there till like the end, and Tanganga was behind him, and he was tapping his chest and clapping and saying sorry to the fans. But he was the last person to leave.
We sat in front of his family. We sat in front of his family at QPR. They were sitting in the stands with us in QPR Upper, where me, Omar, and all that lot were. And they were behind him. We were speaking to him, and they were saying, Omar took the piss and went, I suppose he's not really. I said, he goes to his missus, he goes, so whereabouts do you prefer living in? London? Rotherham.
And they went,
fucking, where would you choose? And it was like, let's get through some of these teams, see what your boys think. We're going to want you boys, you three, to rate Daily Millwall's first. And he's going with Sarkic, Wallace, Cooper, Tanganga. Shut up and let me read the team first. Okay. I want you to give this team, right, all of you, give it a rating out of 10. Okay. So Sarkic, Wallace, shut up. Sarkic, Wallace, Cooper, Tanganga, Leonard, Campbell, Saville, Fleming, Honeyman, Amaku, and Bradshaw. Mark out of 10, Stephen.
3.
Jay.
What's your formation there? Daily Millwall, because that could almost be a 5 at the back.
I think that's a 5 at the back. I think it's going for any.
No, I think that's a 4-2.
So you're saying three, Wallace, Cooper, Tanganga, Leonard in defence, Saville, Honeyman in midfield with Fleming and Imaku either side of Bradshaw.
And Campbell in the midfield.
Six.
Nah, I can't.
James,
do you know what
I mean? Shut up, we're playing a game. We're doing the next one now.
So I guess Leonard's playing right back, is he? I think he's going for
He said it's a 4-2-3-1.
There you go.
I'm gonna give him a generous 6.
Okay. Bart, Wallace, Cooper.
Yeah, Casper in there, I'll give him an 8.
Lenny, Danny Mac, Watmore, Saville, Casper, Honeyman, Brad's Fleming. Fleming won't be playing up front.
Guys, can you just add the formation you want to play in front of this as well, just so we get a quicker understanding?
What Moore's playing left wing, I reckon he's going for. He's going for a 4-4-2.
Chris, let's just come back to you. Christopher, can you tell us what formation you want to play? Let's start with a professional, Dan Riggs. He's playing a formation of 4-4-2. He's playing Sarkic as the lead striker. Danny.
Going back to Chris once for a second. Sorry, go on.
Tanganga, Cooper, Wallace, Cuffy, Major, Almeir.
Almeir, yeah.
Leonard, Casper. That's not a bad team, to be fair.
That's a really good side. But what I'm saying, if you go back to Christmas one,
We don't know what formation. I was playing 4-4-2.
Yeah, that is a Harris team. You look at that team there, you've got 4-4-2. So you've got your Wallace, your Cooper, your Lenny, your Danny Mac. You've got hardworking Watmore, Saville. You wouldn't put Casper. I reckon you'd probably put Mitchell in there or someone else. And Honeyman with Brads and Fleming up front. I reckon tomorrow's team won't be too different to that.
No, I'll give that a 7, to be honest, because that is typical Harris.
Yeah. If he goes with that, yeah. If he goes with Casper, of course, yeah.
He'll have to start Lendog if he's captain. I think Leonard might get captain. I think it'd be a good call. I think he has to do something to just sort of give the team a kick out of the arse. And he needs someone who he's on his level. And I'd say out of the team, probably him or Wallace are probably on his same level, innit? So Richard's playing with not many. Cuffs, Honeyman, he don't think we need a keeper on defence. Look, he's just playing with strikers. That's it. Do you know what I mean? Harris will go with what he knows. So yeah. Leonard over Tanganga. Yes, absolutely. Casper would make any team in the championship.
Thank you, Cole.
Questionable. Leonard isn't fit enough to play midfield. Harding just needs more time. Great. Danny Shrewd, here we go. He's moaning again. You know what I'm sick of hearing? A Harris-type player or a Millwall-type player. How about we just pick our best team with players in their correct positions?
Because, we're not picking the team, Danny. We're not picking the team. Harris is picking the team, and we know what he's going to go with.
Yeah, Danny, tell us what your starting 11 will be, fella.
Please. Well, I guarantee you, Danny, I guarantee you, Neil Harris would be completely different to yours.
Sarkic, Danny, Matt Cooper, Ganga, Leonard, Denore, Honeyman, Saville, Cuff, Free Roll, Fleming, Bradshaw. Chris Brown is back. I don't know where he went to, but he's back. He's playing with a 4-4-1-1.
Hard on.
Oh, that's who he calls Harding. He's brought him a new nickname now.
Is he?
Yeah, Sarkic, he put it earlier on.
Brian's suspended, isn't he, at the moment, Chris?
Yeah, he's suspended.
Yeah, Brian's out. Brian's not going to play on this Harris team.
You forfeited that one. Archie, Harding would do well under Harris. Tanganga isn't all enough to play centre-half. Oh, isn't tall enough.
I think he's tall enough.
Oh, isn't all enough to play centre-half for Harris and has no reason to care as he's on loan. Harding cares and has a reason to fight for his place, yeah, because he probably wants to stay here, doesn't he? So, yeah. Oi, mate, how late is that? We started nearly an hour ago. So what
I actually like? No, I actually think he was rating one of the teams.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he was doing.
All is forgiven, Tony.
If not, right, he's gonna get to this point and I'm gonna go, thanks very much, Tony. You've done really well there. You've rated Peter Sullivan's team 2 out of 10. And by the time he gets to this bit, he won't be able to correct it. And if he does correct it now, then we know he's watching now. So, yeah. So, Daily Millwall is going 4-2-3-1. Archie's got a 4-4-2. Bart, Danny Mac, Harding, Cooper. Look at that. He's fitting it all nicely for us. Wallace, BNC, Honeyman, Saville, Watmore, Fleming, Bradshaw. Peter's going with a 4-4-4-3-3. Chris is 4-4-2. 4-3-2-1.
No one said 4-4 fucking two yet, have they?
No. Oh, here we go. Here's Danny's. He's giving you boys some shit tonight. He has gone here with 4-2-3-1. Sarkic, BNC, Cooper, Tanganga, Wallace, Denore, Honeyman, Saville. In a Savin 10. Is a 10.
Are you sure?
SA right. Fleming left. Not so happy about that. Amaku.
I'm sorry, Dan. I know you hate me tonight. You absolutely hate me.
Dan is actually a nice bloke, to be fair.
But
he is a nice bloke.
I do like some aspects of that, but I just can't. I can't forgive it putting Fleming out wide.
Out left.
I just can't do it.
And welcome to the stream, Danny. No, I'm joking.
He's not happy either, but I agree. Not happy either. 4-2-3-1. I think 4-2-3-1 it is going to be, but.
I'll be dreadfully careful posting. What is that emojo? Is that what? I don't know what it is, but Joe will tell you all about that emojo there. Joe got banned for that.
I had a ban. Yeah, I had a ban for innocently putting an animal type of emoji on Twitter, didn't I? And I tried to appeal against it. They kept me waiting for over a week. And I had to fucking just take it down. Delete it. They wouldn't let me back on again.
There we go. Danny's back again. We should get Danny on because it's much funnier than trying to scroll through to see his next one. So
that's interesting. He's put
get more out of Savile maybe at the cost of Fleming, but Fleming has to play. And then he's gone. I'm not happy about playing Fleming left, but I honestly don't think we'll get anything out of Savile playing centre mid.
Just, I'll respond to that. I love George Savile, fan club over here. But is that Danny saying that George Savile would offer more to us than what Fleming would in the 10? Because the way he's made that sound is that he sees George Savile as a better. We need more out of Savile and Fleming can be sacrificed. Just to clarify, what does he mean by that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Fleming of Savile actually, when he first came to the club, we played him in the 10 and he scored a lot.
Yeah, we did. He got, I think he was on about, he's got about 11 goals that year.
No, we played him there with Wallace, wasn't it?
It was a 4-4-2, but he had the license. You know, we talked before about Cahill and Livermore, where Cahill had the license to push on.
He had
the license to push on because, he mentioned
he was younger then,
yeah, but also he did.
So was Joe.
I was about 5 then. But he mentioned it in the players' lounge when we met him, and he said that when he first joined the club, he had the license to get forward. They encouraged him to get forward and get into the box. When Rowett took over, he told him to stay back. He didn't want him pushing forward, and he was restricted. And that's why he didn't score as many goals under the Rowett era.
All these experts won't play Bradders crazy. See, Bradders probably falls into more of a Harris type team to a degree.
Bradshaw starting up front tomorrow.
Do you think
definitely. Yeah, definitely. Fleming won't be.
In my team, if you come to it, yeah.
Yeah, if Obafemi's fit, I'll start Obafemi and Fleming up front.
But Savile was top goal scorer with Gregory.
There you go. Yeah.
Savile was top scorer with Gregory on 11. He played the attacking midfield. Oh, buckle up, gents.
That's exactly it, Archie. Exactly that.
Yeah. Dan's back. Not necessary. But remember, Savile in his pomp, he played 10 and scored.
Prime, maybe.
Yeah, well, pomp is the same thing, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
He didn't play 10, Danny. He played
in an 8. He played in the Tim Cahill role.
Yeah.
If you want to read what Danny says, just look on the comment section because Joe don't want me to read it out.
can you give Danny a bit of a timeout, please, Mickey?
Nope, because I know Danny quite well. Danny's when I done the Wonderwall Cup, I think it's the same one. I think it's Peter's boy. When Danny done the Wonderwall Cup, Danny's boy took the ball out to the players on the first game we played. And I'm not going to say anything about boy.
Who's he slagging off though?
He's slagging
off. I can't see the comments.
Oh, he's saying you. Well, because you won't let me read them, so you can't see them. He's saying not necessarily. But remember, Savile in his pomp played a number 10 and score goals. As I say, I know we lose a lot of Fleming playing left, but I think with Savile at 10, we get more players in the box when we are attacking. And I think he has a point there, to be fair. Savile is more likely to get the ball to other players than Fleming is. I think the problem with Fleming is that he's young, but I think also with Fleming, he thinks he's a lot better than what he is. So he will not pass a ball and try to run through the defence, and he always loses it and all the other players around him going, why the fuck didn't you just pass me it?
Yeah. He is one of the only ones as well, though, that fights vigorously to try and win it back.
Yeah,
if he had others around him trying to do that, he might have a bit more time on the ball.
Oh.
Well, someone's
we've got a bit of a Jason versus Danny at the moment.
Jason says, Danny says people should play in their proper positions and then plays Zian left.
Jason says that Danny's talking shit. That's what he basically was to say.
Joe, Danny's a big lad, by the way.
So I'm a big lad as well.
That comment there, that Steve Anderson who said he didn't hit double figures. I've just looked. He did. He got 10 goals in the he scored 10 goals in the championship.
Yes. Wow. Oh, we are really lucky, gents. Do you know why? Because Sir Winston Churchill has given us his team for tomorrow, mate.
Bloody hell. He's come from
4-4-2. Winston. Webster, Coops, Ferguson, Jed, Savile, Williams, O'Brien, Morrow, and Gregors.
That team keeps us up.
Yeah.
100%. Give us a DM on Twitter or give us an email at info@thatmillpodcast.co.uk and you'll get one of these Harris back key rings, fella. That's funny. So Danny's come back. Yeah, I'll get that, but Fleming has to play, and how else to get him in? He doesn't fit in a 4-4-2, and I just want to get more from Savile. Oh, it's all kicking off now. Okay, but he ain't no Cahill.
No, I've never claimed that George Savile is like Tim Cahill. He had a phenomenal year that year.
He played that role, didn't he?
That similar role is what Cahill had with Livermore. Yeah. Savile played that with Sean Williams.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, no one's ever compared to Cahill. Jay, you're 11 for tomorrow, but I'm going to ask you in a not what you would pick. Who do you think Harris will pick?
Okay, so that slightly changes things. I like what you've done there. So, what I think
got it all written down, didn't you, Jay? As well, you're thinking already. It all written right, down. So my team. He's asked the wrong question.
I'm going to go with a 4-2-3-1. And he's going to start. I think Harris is going to go with a 4-2-3-1. I think it'd be Sarkic in goal, Danny Mac, Cooper, Harding, Murray Wallace. I think it'd be Denore, Billy Mitchell in midfield. And I think it'd be Fleming, Mayer on the left, Cuffy on the right, and Bradshaw up front.
Your team that you've named there is pretty much exactly what I think Harris is going to play, but one change.
Say it when it's your turn. You tell us the change.
Yeah. Go on, Joe.
I'm going to go with a 2-1 win as well.
No, I won't forget what my change is because he's named bang on what I would.
You're
going to
read the whole team out the same way, though. Yes,
yeah, so I just want to see. I want to see what you go with now, Joe. But bear in mind,
that is what I think Harris is going to go.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's the key thing here. But go on. So, Joe, not what you would pick. Who do you think Harris will pick?
Okay, so I think he will go for a 4-4-1-1 formation. I think he's going to keep it quite compact, quite tight. He's going to go with Sarkic in goal, Danny Mac right back. I think he's going to go with Leonard and Cooper as a centre back pairing. Mazza left back. I think he will go Honeyman on the right side of a midfield four with. I'm not green to this. This is what Neil's going to go with. He's going to go with probably Billy Mitchell, I reckon, and Savile in the centre. On the left-hand side, I think it'll go Longman, because Longman is a workhorse, you know, and he'll do that well, that role quite well. He had Danny Schofield years ago, you remember? Who did a very, very similar role. You know, he was a right-footed player, he's cutting on his right foot. So he'll probably go Longman on the left-hand side. He'll play Fleming at the 10 with Bradshaw ahead of him. It'd be quite a compact side, yeah.
And the result?
And the result is, I can't, you know what, I said we're going to win 3-0 against Sheffield Wednesday last week, so I can't go too gung-ho. I reckon we're going to draw 2-2.
Okay. Go on, I'm interested to leave Stephen in suspense, so I want to hear what Mick's got next then.
Oh, don't ask me. I've got fuck all football knowledge, and everyone knows that. So yeah, don't go there. I'll go with what Churchill's side is now. I mean,
oh, Winston.
You know what I mean?
You can't lose. So, that, I suppose.
That's it. I mean, go on, Stephen. I mean, we can leave him in suspense for 1 minute if you want. Right, with this, right. I've just been sent. I mean, I don't know where this Instagram gets it from. It's been stolen from another news outlet with no credit, and I'm not going to name the Instagram account. But yeah, it's either run by kids or run by a media company who just nicks everything with bots. From ZM Fleming, I think it is. It says, I think we might look back at this period like, do you remember how stressful that was? But deep down, everyone knows that we will get this done. That's the feeling I get from the club. I don't mean in a way that everything is going to be all right, because it doesn't come out of nothing. We have to really, 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 we have to work really, really hard to turn this around. But we have got good quality players and good personalities. Everyone is in there to work their arse off. We have to be a team out there. The guys up front are also speaking to the ones at the back. How does it feel for you? What do you expect from us? What can we do differently to help? That is what we expect from you. This is what we expect from you. It's all about grinding it out every day. There are going to be setbacks. We are not going to win all 13 games, unfortunately. I hope we do, but being realistic, that's not going to happen. There might be a bad performance. There might be a loss or poor performance at home again, with the Den not being happy with us. It could all happen, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. ZM Fleming interview. I don't know who's that with. Probably with Richard Corley, but yeah.
Sorry, that was ZM Fleming's words, that was it?
Yeah, allegedly, yeah.
Right, okay.
Have a look into that.
Interesting.
The Instagram account what posts it all, I think, is a bot, to be fair, and just retweets loads of stuff. Or it's a kid or so, yeah.
There's nothing on Zian Fleming's Instagram. I've just
looked. No, it's not in his. It'll be off Richard Cowley or whatever. I'll send you the account in a minute. You can go have a look and see if it's credited, but it won't be.
Can we find out who's this mystery player that Stephen's going to pull out of Jay's side?
Come on in, Stephen. Let's go.
I'm amazed that you never said Ryan Leonard.
Oh, there you go. It's an interview this morning, by the way, with South London Press.
In your team, Jay, because I think everything screams that. I mean, the noise out of the club, if it's there to be believed that Leonard is going to play, and Leonard, he's one of Harris's boys, isn't he? So, and going for what he knows, the position that I think that he might play in, I fully agree that
he's
going
to play keeper.
I think Neil Harris is going to pick Wes Harding. I don't agree with it, but I think he will. I as much as he loves Billy Mitchell, I think it would be Casper and Leonard in the midfield. Someone said he wasn't fit enough to play in midfield, but I think Leonard will give you everything for 60, 70 minutes. You can take him off. Yeah. And the other player in your team who I was really interested that you said, and I think he's going to thrive under Harris, is Adam Meyer. Because Harris loves a direct winger, someone to put crosses into the box. It might not work out, and he might not be, you know, it might be someone who gets taken off after sort of 50 minutes, 60 minutes or whatever. But Harris loves that direct winger. And that's what we've seen from Meyer. All he's wanted to do is put crosses into the box. Yeah. So definitely think your team will be very close. I'll be very surprised if he makes any more than two changes to what both of us have kind of come up with.
Yeah, I agree. But Leonard would get in my personal team.
Yeah, of course.
I've
posted that.
And what do you reckon the score is going to be then, Steve?
Chap said 1-1. That was going to be. Do we go with the 1-0 Jake Cooper so everyone wins their bet? No, I think it'd be a very competitive draw. I'm going to go with Chaps, what he said earlier. I think it'll be 1-1. But I think they will take the lead, and I think we'll come back to equalise.
Put your scores in the chat then. Come on in. Let's see what your scores are for tomorrow. Oh, Tony is watching, by the way, because he's putting scores in now.
Yeah, I told you. He was rating one of the teams. I'm sure he did.
That's what I'm going with. 2-1 Wolves.
I will never ever come on here and predict Millwall to lose, but I think tomorrow might just be one of those days where we come away with a point, and it might be a point you look back at the end of the season and go, that kick started us. I think that's what kept us up.
A point.
Possibly.
East Block's come up. Basically, Harris likes his teams to be like the FA Cup quarterfinal Millwall team.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Any of them FA Cup games, Everton, but yeah, all of them. Get that type of performance and yeah, be laughing, won't we?
Could you imagine if we actually go and beat Southampton away 2-1 tomorrow? We will have his first game in charge. Could you imagine?
If we are, I'm coming on this chat tomorrow night.
Yeah.
No shirt on and just like that. I'm telling you.
Clip that bit.
Because I might be the only one holding it.
Clip it.
Oh, I think we'll win tomorrow. I think we'll shock them because I think it's just everything in. The fact that Southampton's been in it the last couple of games, the fact that there's all this positivity, whatever it is, there's all this thing. And I think the fact of tomorrow and with obviously, I think the club are going to do something. Well, you know, there are other people going down there to put spits down there because obviously the Basingstoke 8 and everything. I think it's just all aligned. And I think we will go down there and get a result. You watch, we now get spanked by 8-0. But no, I do think we'll get a result tomorrow.
And one thing for sure is that Neil Harris will stick a rocket up their arse. And that change room, before they go out, you can imagine what it's going to be like. You know, he's going to really rally these guys, more so than Joe Edwards has done in all the games he's managed to put together. That's going to be the biggest difference.
Just look at the training. Look at the training. Have you noticed how it's amazing? I mean, I'll come on to the Harris bit in a sec, but it's amazing, isn't it, how much the Millwall media and whatnot watch what's said and everything else, because there was no pictures from the training session today of Barrett at all.
Well, do you say that about the pictures, Mick? Right. What did we have under Edwards? We had pictures of them shooting into a goal unimpeded, just ball laid off to them.
Yeah.
The first picture from training I see from a Harris regime today was George Saville sliding in. I can't remember
Casper.
Who it was on.
I think it's Casper.
Denore. Grabbing him by the shirt, he's sliding in. That's the first image they put out there under the Harris's training. You didn't see any of that from the
Edwards. That's true. Good point.
So
yeah,
that's another point that leads to, like, other club, they're building this narrative that they know what the fans want, what the fans expect, Harris expect. Mm. And now they're trying to twist that narrative to show us this is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
For the ones that might not know so much and not in as in-depth as us, that might just know, this is what you're going to get. Because that's the images that come out today. There was no shooting drills. There's no one standing around. Oh, it was Saville crunching into Casper Denore, the first image of his training session. Mm. Big smile on all their faces.
Well, was it Saville you said did it, or Honeyman?
Saville sliding into Casper Denore, yeah.
Right, interesting, yeah.
Right, I think we're pretty much done, gents. Are you?
Yep.
Yeah, we need to, thingy, mate. I've got one more thing to say before we go, but yeah, go on. What time do you need to be off?
Yeah, I've got to shoot in a second. But the last thing I would say just before we wrap up is if anyone is going tomorrow, Joe, obviously I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is 13 Cup Finals. We've just got to back the manager, back the team. If we lose, we lose. If we get a point, we get a point. If we win, we win. But just back them for 13 games. We can deal with the summer transfer window back when the season finishes and recruitment and off the field. But for 13 games, let's get behind them.
I'm just going to leave you with this. It's a breaking story while we've been on. I'm not going to mention their names because the media will do a good job of that. And, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of what it is, it's of your views on it. This is my point on it.
Has Joe got the Chelsea job, has he?
No. The father and son who made the helicopter gesture at Leicester when we played Leicester at Millwall, they've pleaded guilty, 48 and 18. And obviously they've been, the Met Police said this deeply. This is what I want you to think about, okay? And those listening, just listen to what I'm going to say, okay? The father and son, 48, 18, whichever, right, basically made what's classed as a tragedy charting. So the police have said, deeply offensive gesture were an example of tragedy charting, right? So they tell you all about the story anyway. The kid gets a 12-month traditional discharge and ordered to pay £85 in costs and a victim surcharge of £26 to who I don't know, while his dad was fined £266 and told to pay £85 in costs and £106 surcharge. Okay, so between them, what's that? If we round it up, say about £600. Okay, and as you go down the story, you'll then see that the police officer comes out and says, obviously, that you know these convictions demonstrate the zero tolerance and this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. My thing to this is, right, they were each given a three-year football banning order at Bromley Magistrate Courts as well. The old Bill will get between £2,500 and £4,500 per banning order. So the old Bill made £5,000 out of that, potentially, and the public purse made £600. And if it's going to be an example, then surely the fine should be there to do it, not because the police get paid for having banning orders on people. And that is just how much. And that fella today, who's been all over the news and everywhere today about jibbing, you know, that jibbing isn't a criminal offence, yet he's looking to make jibbing a criminal offence within football. And again, football fans are penalised because it's just an easy victim, you know, it's an easy crime. I'm not saying what they did was right, or I'm not saying what they did was wrong, but the fines, just to me, that if you want to send a zero tolerance message, then set the fines higher or make the crime higher. But don't do it any other way. So, yeah, no worries. Thanks, Stephen. Sorry, fella. Sorry.
See you now, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
No worries. Take care, Stephen.
So, yeah, that's it. That's it from us. We're done.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.